cannot know me other than listening to my words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. But then it goes on, it says, the Word became flesh. The Word became man and dwelt among us. And of course, we know that that is talking about Jesus. That God, when he wanted to express fully and completely and totally all that he is, could not only just do it in a book, but had to do it by coming and becoming man. The Word, the expression, the communication, became a man and lived among us, lived with us, lived like us, and we have seen his glory, glory of the only Son of the Father. We need some complexity in the unity if God is going to communicate. It cannot just be a simple, absolute unity. And secondly, we want to say that God is love. We've been singing about that. That fundamentally, God is love. That is his essence, his core. And if we think about that, if that is who he is and who he always has been, his fundamental nature, that means he loved before he created. Before this world was created, before he created Adam and Eve, he was love. And who was he loving? Then necessarily must have been relationship within the Godhead. Right? Love means something reciprocal. Love means relationship. Love necessarily means more than one. So this idea of Trinity, when we think about it more carefully, is difficult to understand. How can one be three and three be one? And yet it is essential. And it's glorious to look at the intensity of the relationship between the Father and the Son. This is, let's read together from John chapter 17. John chapter 17. I like to read responsively. So I read the even verses and you read the odd verses, right? It keeps you active. Otherwise you doze off. So I'm going to read the even verses and you're going to read the odd verses. Okay, this is John chapter 17. This is Jesus praying just before he went to the cross. Jesus says, he's got his disciples around him, and he says, my prayer is not for these disciples alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory. What glory? The glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. And that's it. So, as we look at that, what do we learn about the relationship between the Father and the Son? We learn that there is an intense love between them. That the Father loves the Son and the Son loves the Father. At the baptism of Jesus, there was a voice from heaven and the voice said, what did it say? This is my beloved Son. This is the one I love. And the Son says, I love the Father. They love each other. What does that mean? It means they know each other. In Matthew, it says, only the Son really, truly knows the Father. That's the depth of the relationship. And only the Son really knows the Father. Only the Father knows the Son. So only the Son can reveal the Father, and only the Father can reveal the Son. No one else knows them in the depth that they know each other. They love each other. They know each other. They abide in each other. That Father is in the Son, and the Son is in the Father. Their beings are wrapped up with each other. Jesus would spend hours and hours praying because he was in the Father and to abide in the Father. They glorify each other. The purpose of the Father is to lift up and to exalt and to glorify the Son. And the purpose of the Son is to glorify the Father, that all men would worship him and honor him and know him. They are glorifying each other. The Son doesn't want to glorify himself. He's not thinking about self-promotion. He's not wanting to draw attention to himself. His whole purpose is to glorify the Father, that people would focus on and love and worship and obey and serve the Father. And the Father, in response to that, just wants the whole world to know how great his Son is. And to hear about the Son and to hear how wonderful the Son is and all that the Son has done, glorifying each other. And then there's authority in this, that the Father gives authority to the Son. In John 5, we said that the Father gives the Son authority to raise the dead. And the Father gives the Son authority to judge. That at the end of all things, at the great judgment, who will be doing the judging? The Son, Jesus. Because the Father has given all his authority to the Son. And in response to that, what does the Son do? Total submission. At that baptism, the voice said, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased, because this one and only this one is the one who has 100% fulfilled all my purpose. I sent him and he obeyed. He left the glory of heaven. He left the worship of the angels in obedience to me and came down all the way to the cross. Incredible obedience. So, none of them do anything by themselves. This is a challenge for me, individualistic Westerner. But theologians point out that the Father, the Son, and the Spirit were at creation. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit were in the incarnation when Jesus was born. They're all there at the baptism. They're all there at the cross. They're all there in the resurrection. And they're all there at the end of all things. None of them does anything by himself. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Everything they do is done together. That's the depth. And so we can say that they are perfectly one. God is one. We affirm that with passion. But the oneness comes out of an extraordinarily intense, intimate, committed, faithful relationship. There's an early theologian, John of Damascus, lived in Damascus, was serving the caliph, the sultan in Damascus. And so he was in dialogue with a lot of Muslim friends. And of course, Muslims believe that God is one. Muhammad's big thing was to get rid of the idols, and we say, amen. Dead right. But then John, as he thought about it, said, there is more, this Trinity thing, how can I explain it? And he came up with a word, perichoresis, which means making space for each other, open to each other. That the Father is open to the Son then finds himself in the Father, finds his being and finds his identity in relationship with the Father. Isn't that beautiful? They find themselves in each other. And we have been made in the image of God. That's why all this theology matters. It's not just something to tease the brain cells. But God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. So we carry in ourselves the image and likeness of this amazing, relational, love-filled, self-revealing God. He is relationship, and we have been made to be relationship like him. Loneliness is the great curse. The worst punishment in a prison is solitary confinement, because we've been made to be together. We've been made to know each other and to live with each other. I just love this list. Look at this list of the relationship between the Father and the Son, and think about your relationships. This is how we are created to be. This is what we are meant to be, but which has been ruined and despoiled and marred and corrupted. That we are people who have been created to love each other, to be in relationships where we deeply and profoundly know each other, to be with each other and almost in each other, abiding, staying, not in our little corner by ourselves, to glorify each other, not to be jealous, not to be put out when the other one gets the praise, but to be looking for ways to lift each other up, not to lift myself up, but to lift up my spouse, my friend, my brother, my sister, to submit to each other, to work together and to be one. That is what we were made for. And when that happens, there is healing, there is wholeness, there is glory, there is God comes down. When the brothers dwell in unity, I have commanded the blessing. That's our destiny, because we have been created like him and in him. And then he invites us, and this is amazing. He invites us to come in and share with him in his relationship. Let's read John 14, 18 to 24. This is Jesus. Let's do it again. I'll read the evens and you read the odds. This is Jesus again speaking to his disciples the evening before he died. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. Hallelujah! As the Father loves the Son, we are loved. Just let me say that again. Just as this perfect, eternal love exists between Father and Son, Jesus says, now, you are loved in the same way. As the Father and I are one, you are now in us and one with us. As the Father gave me his word, I now give you my word, that you may know me as I know the Father's will. The passion and the excitement and the glory of what is between the Father and the Son is what we as believers get to enjoy, participate in, and to know that's who we are. We find ourselves in him, and we find ourselves in each other. There's this extraordinary relationship within the Godhead, and we are invited into that, and then we get it with each other. We love each other, we know each other, we glorify each other. We cannot live without each other. It's only in each other and with each other that we really can live ourselves. This whole idea that I am the captain of my fate, I can do my own thing, is rubbish. You don't even know who you are unless you're in relationship. You don't even know who you are unless you're in relationship with each other. How does a player learn to play better football? Because of his coach and because of his teammates. How do children grow into maturity? Because of the parents. A child bereft of loving parents is damned. We need each other. My dear father, in his last words of very severe Parkinson's, used to get a lot of hallucinations. And it was really upsetting sometimes. One time we went to see him and he said, I looked out the window and I saw a load of tigers. And then they came into the room. And then he said, of course, I knew it wasn't true because there were so many. If there had been just one, it could have been. Lots of tigers, can't be. And we would have to sit with him, and you know, he would have dreams of having gone on the train to see his sister in Southampton, and he'd got off the train and he didn't know where he was and he was anxious and upset. And he needed us to sit with him and say, Dad, you never got on the train. And without us, and of course the staff couldn't do it, it had to be family, it had to be close. Dad, it's not true. And in our He could only keep a handle on reality because of his relationships. And I think that's very true. We know reality. We know what's going on about it around us in truth because of each other. If it's just me by myself, I am limited, I have a false perspective, I deceive myself, and I need you to come to me and say, it's not like that. Just like the Father and the Son find themselves in each other, we find ourselves in each other. Paul said, I pray that you may have power with all the saints to comprehend the breadth and length and height and depth and to know the love of Christ. And what's he saying? He says, you can't know the love of Christ without each other. I pray that you will have the power to comprehend with each other, with all the saints, to know the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to experience and comprehend the love of Christ. But you can't by yourself. You can't just praying by yourself. You can't just reading the Bible by yourself. Together, we know him. And then we have the submission of the Son to the Father. This relationship, this intensity, this unity became because the Son obeyed. You want me to leave heaven and come down. You want me to go to the cross. The night before the cross, not my will, but yours be done. And God is the ultimate authority. And the Son submitted to that authority. And we struggle with that. We are suspicious of authority. Especially now, as authority has been abused and exploited, and the church has been guilty of doing terrible things with authority, of covering up and exploiting and abusing. So now people are suspicious of authority and don't want to submit to leaders. But authority is from God. And in this Trinity, the Son always was the Son. And the Son obeys the Father. I think it's a message we need because our age is a rebellious age and an age that is suspicious of authority. A couple of years ago, I got the privilege of doing a silent retreat in Thailand. And the first day was really difficult because I was struggling. I had just got some news about a friend had lost her sister and was in great grief and mourning, and I was feeling that sadness. And I went to see the spiritual director, and he was rubbish. The spiritual director is meant to listen empathetically, discern what God is saying, and suggest the next step. This guy didn't listen at all. He just talked. And then he gave me a load of verses to memorize, to meditate on. And I went away, pooh, who's this guy? How does he think he can tell me what verses to meditate on? Because he's rubbish. Honest. So what am I going to do? I've got 2 more days of this silent retreat, and I've got this rubbish director. So what am I going to do? And that night, I had a dream. And I was up in the highlands on a mountain, and it was winter, and it was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, so it's getting dark, and there's snow on the ground, and it's cold, and I've got to get off this mountain quick, because I'm going to be stuck up here for the night. And I'm looking around, and I get down, and there's a path. But I don't want to take the path, I'm looking for some other way. But then I realized if I take another route, I don't know where I'm going. I'm going to be lost. So I need to take the path. And I woke up and I heard God saying, take the path. Submit to this guy. Do what he tells you to do. And it was great. God really spoke to me. I had two wonderful days in God's presence, feasting on his word. And a big lesson of the whole thing was, submit even though he's rubbish. By faith, just trust. Leaders are not perfect. They're always going to let you down. But we need to learn about submission. And finally, quickly, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit facing each other, but not a self-absorbed, introverted little clique. Because they had this great idea. Let's create. Let's create a world. Let's create a universe. Let's create humanity. And they're going to mess up, but it's okay. It's going to be good in the end. And then they fall, and we're going to save them. And this universe is going to be brought back to what it's meant to be. We've got this huge project. And we're not facing each other, we're facing out. It's not a cozy little huddle. It's a dynamic team accomplishing something enormous. And then, as we come into that, same thing happens to us. He says, hey, you're part of us. You're sharing our life. You're filled with our love. So what are you going to do? Are you just going to sit in your holy huddle, looking at it, contemplating each other's navels? You're going to go out. And my power in you, my spirit in you, is going to enable you to love your enemies. And it's going to enable you to speak my word. God spoke a word. And when we received, believed, and obeyed that word, then we came into relationship with him. And now, this spirit has been given to us to speak boldly. Just been in our life group, we're going through the book of Acts, and I realized 10 times in the, you know, Peter is cowering in the upper room, afraid of the Jews, and the Holy Spirit comes, and what's the first thing he does? He stands up and preaches such a mega sermon that 3,000 people get saved. And then Paul, cowering in his room, blind, totally confused, and the Holy Spirit comes, and the next verse is, he goes out into Damascus and proclaims Jesus is the Son of God in the synagogues. And 10 times in the book of Acts, we read, they preached the word boldly. They preached the word boldly. Because in the beginning was the word. And through that word, we have come to know this life and this love and this unity. And so now, because we are in him, we have been given his mission to speak this word. And the Spirit has been given so that we may have boldness, and we may have love, and we can change this world, because that's what he's doing. Wow, Jesus, we love you. You're great. It's glorious what you've shown us. It's wonderful that you've brought us into relationship with your Father. You've given us your Holy Spirit. You've revealed who you are. You've given us each other. You live here with us. We get a taste of heaven when we gather together. Give us power to know that love. Give us the power together to know the fullness of God's love. And fill us with that love. Fill us with that spirit so that we will not be afraid to speak this word. The world needs to hear. And we have the word and we have the spirit, so we will speak. In Jesus' name, amen.